Almost nobody likes an unresolved movie ending. Many years ago, Brady and I went to go see the movie Inception when it came out in theaters. And if you've seen it, you know that it's a puzzle thriller of a movie where the characters are able to enter people's dreams, and they frequently do so in order to steal information. Most of the time in the movie, it was clear to those of us in the theater if a character was in a dream sequence or if the scene was to be understood as happening in real life. But in the final seconds of the movie, we were left guessing as to which one it was, whether it was a dream or if it was real. As we left the theater, I heard people talking all around us, snippets of their conversation weaving in and out of our own, all of us pondering how the story had ended. Soon after, I began to see articles floating around the web and in magazines and newspapers, each author contemplating the ending as well. It seemed that everybody wanted to offer their own attempt at tying up the end of the movie, presenting evidence that supported their theory in hopes of swaying people over to their side. Nobody really likes loose ends or an unresolved plot. Nobody. Even those of us like me who claim to like them. We like them precisely because we want to figure out the puzzle. We want to tie up those loose ends for ourselves, which may be why our text from Genesis leaves many of us, myself included, feeling a bit unsettled. It is one of our most fundamental texts of our faith, and it is also one of the most debated. The whole thing unfolds like a movie plot, building the suspense while also building our desire to see a resolution, to discover what will happen. And the story begins with an ending, actually, a happily ever after ending, even. After many long and arduous years making every attempt to have a child, God makes good on a promise to Sarah and Abraham to finally have and conceive and have Isaac. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore to him. But then the story begins to turn sour. God, indeed God, decides to test Abraham, telling him that he must sacrifice his son Isaac. The son that Abraham didn't think was possible, the son that took so long to have, the son who is the resolution of God's promise and through whom Abraham will become a great and mighty nation and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God, indeed God, tests Abraham, making us wonder which path Abraham will take. We follow Abraham as he seems to obey God's command, never questioning God's wisdom in killing an innocent boy. We watch as he heads up the mountain, making Isaac carry the very wood that he's about to die on. And then as he tells his son a half-truth about God providing the lamb for the burnt offering. The suspense just keeps building up through the very moment that Isaac is bound on the altar that Abraham has constructed, and a knife is in his hands, prepared to kill his son. Only then, at the climax of the story, does God intervene. Only when we cannot take it any longer and the situation seems bleak, does God step in, stopping Abraham from killing his son, the heir to God's promise. Nobody likes loose ends and unresolved plots. Thankfully, it seems that this story has a resolution, that we can breathe a sigh of relief because God saved Isaac in the nick of time. But another look reveals enough loose ends to leave us feeling completely unsettled. And they begin early, and they begin with God. Questions arise for me like, why would a seemingly good God The God who brought order out of chaos, the God who created life, inflict such a demand on Abraham? Why would God want an innocent child dead, especially one that Abraham and Sarah waited so long to have? And why would a God who keeps promises, even promises to make a barren woman conceive and bear a child after so many years, want to break that promise by demanding the death of the fulfillment of that promise? Not to mention, why test Abraham at all? The loose ends don't stop. They keep coming. Why didn't Abraham question God, especially when he was so much more willing to do so with Sodom and Gomorrah? Just four chapters earlier in 18, Abraham argued vehemently against God, pleading for God to spare those two cities. Wasn't his son worth more to him than two cities in which he knew hardly anybody? Wasn't his son worth fighting for? Was it really just a test, and did Abraham know that? Or was there something else at work here? Is this a story about how God provides, or is there something else that we can learn about God that we seemingly have missed? Doesn't seem so simple anymore, does it? But maybe that's precisely the point. Maybe it's not about simple resolutions, about making sure that everything is neat and the loose ends are tied up, because life is complicated and messy. The boy doesn't always get the girl, and frequently they don't live happily ever after, even when they do get together at the end of a movie. Not all criminals are caught at the end of the story, and frequently people still live with a sense of shame and guilt surrounding their lives. Rarely do things get tied up in neat little packages or make perfect sense. There's almost always at least one loose thread hanging out there, if not a few dozen. And sometimes we find ourselves in the direst of situations with seemingly no way out. Life is full of pain and is full of torment, full of things we cannot control. It's probably why we seek refuge and comfort in movies that resolve that tension, if only to escape the fact that there's so much unresolved in our lives. It's probably why many of us look for our faith to be neat and tidy too, hoping to escape the pain of unresolved tension in every other dimension of our lives. Yet God can and is still found in the midst of it all. God doesn't leave. God is still there when chaos seems to reign, giving and providing in the midst of it. This is perhaps what makes Abraham so faithful. Not that he blindly does what God wants him to do, without even questioning, but instead that he is able to hear the voice of the angel of the Lord calling out his name, able to see God's presence and provision in the midst of such a bleak and dire affair. While God may have been the one to get Abraham into such a sticky situation, God still goes with him into it, never leaving him. God never leaves Abraham, just as God never leaves us. God always goes with us. Into the midst of our most bleak and dire moments, God goes and God is there. When our whole world seems to be unraveling, loose ends pulling us apart, God is there with us, with you, amid the unresolved, interrupting our lives in order to give us what we need, even if it raises 100 other questions in the process.